We read the Holy Scriptures tonight in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, we'll read verses 19 to the end of the chapter. 19 through 34 of Matthew 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Therefore, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The text that we consider on this occasion of prayer day tonight is verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Have you heard the birds singing yet, beloved? I've heard them singing a few times already this early spring season. Today it seems that they were particularly enthusiastic. I think that they enjoyed the warm sunshine today just as much as we did. What a beautiful sound, the singing of the birds, a sound that sing that spring is near. Have you beheld the birds much lately? Have you taken the time to look at them and to behold what they're doing? If not, you really should do that, and I should do that too. God created the birds, as well as all of his creation, to be a picture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and everything in the heavens and the earth. And God created the creation as a set of pictures to teach us spiritual truths and spiritual lessons. God created the birds on day 5. Genesis 1 verse 20 tells us, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. God created the birds in the beginning. He created them with a specific nature and with specific characteristics. And God intended from all eternity that this creature, the bird, would serve us, his people, living in the midst of the world, as a spiritual picture, a picture of spiritual truth and spiritual lessons. And in the text we consider tonight, our Lord Jesus Christ now draws our attention to the birds very specifically when he says, "Behold the birds of the air." That word "behold" means turn your eyes upon them. Direct your attention to them. It's almost as if the Lord is speaking to us in 21st century America and saying, "Now put down your Kindle for a little while. Get away from your laptop. Go outside. Go into the out of doors. Look around you at the creation. Specifically now, look at the birds." There's other texts that say, consider the ant, and we ought to think about the snow and the washing away of our sins. And there's all kinds of pictures out there. But now in this text, the Lord says, behold the birds of the air. Look at them. Think about them. Reflect upon what they're doing for a while. He makes this comment in the broader context of this chapter that we read, and specifically in the verses from 25 to the end, the Lord is emphasizing that we take no thought for the morrow. Do not worry about your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink or what ye shall put on your body. Do not worry about those things. Why not, you say? Well, the Lord gives various reasons and arguments in the passage why we ought not to be worried about earthly material things that we need. One of those arguments is found in our text. It's an argument from the lesser to the greater, as we would say. He argues that the birds of the air do not sow or reap or gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. If he feeds them, then surely he will also feed you, who are much better than they. And so, considering the birds tonight, beloved, we will be led to remind ourselves to trust in God for those things that we need and not to be worried. Behold the birds of the air. That's our theme. Behold the birds of the air. We notice first that our Father feeds them. In the second place, he will feed us too. And in the third place, the conclusion, we need not worry. Behold the birds of the air, beloved. Our Heavenly Father, the text tells us, our Lord tells us, our Heavenly Father feedeth them. And he does so on a day-by-day basis. Yet, these birds of the air do not sow, they do not reap, and they do not gather into barns. We're told that there are some 50 different kinds of birds mentioned in the Word of God, such as eagles and hawks, ravens, pigeons, doves, sparrows, swallows, vultures, and many others. We're also told that in all there are almost 400 different kinds of birds that live in the area in which Jesus lived, in the land of Palestine, both in Jesus' day and in our day, from 360 to 400 some different kinds of birds. Many different birds were flying around in the air as Jesus lived his life on this earth. None of those birds sowed seed, reaped a harvest, or gathered into barns. None of them. Not the solitary eagle or hawk living up on the high rocks of the mountains. Not the social sparrows that flock together in large groups. None of them are able to farm the ground and to produce their food in that way. Rather, they wait upon their Creator. They wait upon Him day by day, as it is written in the Psalms too, Psalm 104, verse 27. These all wait upon Thee, that Thou mayest give them their meat in due season. The birds put their trust in God. Do they consciously do that? We don't know how conscious they are of that. But they put their trust in God. They wait upon God for their daily bread, and He feeds them. They wait upon Him day by day. They eat, as it were, hand to mouth. And they expect their food from God each and every day. And expecting it, they receive their food too. Rarely do we see the birds go hungry. Look at the birds, beloved. Behold the fowls of the air. Do they ever go hungry? Do they ever not eat? Very rare is it the case that the birds do not eat. Our Heavenly Father feeds them. But now we must not misunderstand the text. Our Lord is not encouraging us to be idle. He is not saying, now look at the birds. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns, and they eat. So, the birds don't do anything, and you don't have to do anything either. Just sit around and wait, and God will give you your food. And that's how you show your trust in the Lord. Not at all. The birds do not act that way, do they? Do the birds sit around in their nests waiting for God to drop a worm into their nest so that then they have something to eat? Is that what's meant when it says that the birds wait upon God for their food? Of course not. The birds are very busy. The birds are a very active creature, to be sure, full of energy and zeal and enthusiasm. There's hardly a dull moment in the life of a bird. They do what they can to obtain their food. They're constantly using the many wonderful abilities that God has given them to acquire what they need. They can fly. They can rip through the air. They can soar up into the clouds and fly back down. They can dip here and there and everywhere. With their sharp claws, they can scoop up a fish out of the water and hold it in their tight grip and bring it back to their nest. With their strong beaks, they can pull a worm out of the ground and they can chomp the seeds into their mouths. They can see a prey from a very long distance with their powerful, incredible eyesight. God has given them many abilities, many wonderful talents, and they make use of those talents. They're constantly busy seeking that food. So when the text says, when Jesus says that our Heavenly Father feeds them, He means that our Father feeds them in the way of their being active, in the way of their busyness, in the way of their diligent use of their talents. We must be busy too. God has given us talents too. And God calls us too to be busy and active in whatever calling or station He's given to us. And He will feed us too in the way of our busy, hard work. But the birds are limited in their abilities. And that's the point of the text. When Jesus says they do not sow, they do not reap, they do not gather into barns, the reason is that they cannot. They do not do those things because they cannot do those things. The birds are very limited in what they can do. The birds cannot till the ground. They cannot create fresh furrows of soil. They don't know how to scatter the seed in the soil and to cover it over. They don't know how to irrigate properly. They don't know how to harvest when the crops have come to fruition. They can't think far enough in advance to be able to store those crops. They certainly don't know how to build barns. They can't do those things. They don't know how to do those things. And for that matter, they don't know how to do, and they don't have the strength to do any of the tasks that we do all day, every day either. They don't know how to drive trucks. They don't know how to build houses. They don't know how to make sermons. They can't teach a class of students at school. They can't fix the plumbing in a house. They can't do electrical work. The birds can't do any of those things. They don't know how to do nursing. They couldn't be a doctor in a hospital. They're very limited. They're very dependent upon God in many respects. And that's why they eat day by day. They depend upon God every day to provide them with their food. They're utterly dependent on God. And God feeds them. Again, as we read in the Psalms, Psalm 147, verse 9, He giveth to the beast his food and to the young ravens which cry. The birds don't prepare for the future. Oh, they do perhaps prepare a little bit for the future. They can do some things. Again, they often fly south for the winter and they get out of the cold so that they can survive. And there's some foresight there. Probably that's instinct on their part from generations of birds before them. that they make their migration to the south where it's warmer, and then they come back in the springtime, and so we hear them chirping and singing again. That's true. And so the Lord, too, in this text isn't telling us that we shouldn't prepare for the future. He isn't saying that we can't have savings accounts or stock up our pantries. He's not outlawing insurance policies or 401ks or IRAs, retirement plans of various kinds. But He is teaching us that since we are called to behold the birds of the air, we must take note of the fact of how dependent they are. And remember how dependent we are. We can do a whole lot more things than the birds, can't we? Sure, we can plow the field. Some of us have done that. We know how to sow seed in the field or plant the little plants in a row. We know how to irrigate. We can spray for bugs. We can cultivate the plants. We can do all kinds of things. We can harvest them. We can build barns and bigger barns, and we can gather our crops into those barns and store up and save for the future. But there's so many things we cannot do. The farmer can do all those things, but he still can't make the rain come down from heaven. The farmer can't make the sun to shine. The farmer cannot prevent the mice from stealing and eating some of the crops in the barn, and he can't stop the thief from breaking in and stealing either. Nor can any of us stop those things ultimately by our own power. We can have our insurance policies, we can have our retirement funds, we can have our 401ks, but we can't control the economy. We can't control the stock market. We can't control the decisions made by senators and representatives in Washington. All those things are out of our hands, just like so many things are out of the hands of birds. They wait upon God day by day. They eat out of His hand, so to speak. Yes, they're busy, but they're limited. They're dependent. And yet, our Heavenly Father feeds them. He feeds them. They don't go hungry. They have what they need. And they trust in Him. Birds seem to have this sense, this innate sense, that God will do it. My Creator will take care of me. He's done so in the past. He'll do so today, and He'll do so tomorrow too. They put their trust in their Creator. And if God feeds the birds of the air, beloved, how much more won't He feed you? Are you not much better than they? He will feed us too. He most certainly will. And that's the argument from the lesser to the greater that Jesus makes in the text. If He feeds the birds of the air, then certainly, without doubt, He will feed you, who are His children. You are much better than they, are you not? Oh, some sharply disagree with this comment of Jesus in the text, some in our modern world. Some think that, how conceited for Jesus to say that, you are much better than the birds of the air. We are not much better, they say, than the birds of the air. In fact, we are no better than the birds of the air. We're no better than the cow in the field. We're no better than the horse. We're no better than the dog or the cat. We're no better than the tiny microorganism, the bacterium that you cannot even see. All of these living organisms that live on this planet are of equal value. They each have an equally important place in the ecosystem of the earth. Each of them has the same origin billions of years ago in the early swamps of this earth. And each of them is of equal importance, we're told. And so, we humans need to get off our high horse. We need to stop thinking that we're something special, that we are some superior, some better creature living on this planet. No, they say every creature, every organism has an equal right and an equal worth. And that's just, beloved, the modern form of the old idolatry, which the Apostle Paul warned us about in Romans 1, when he spoke about the Gentiles, of which we too are by nature, that they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. The apostle tells us that they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Some may take issue with what Jesus says in the text when he tells us that we are much better than they. But our Lord is reminding us of the truth. We are much better than the birds of the air. Nor is it proud or conceited to say so. Not mankind in general, however. It is true, of course, that God created man in the beginning, and He created man as the pinnacle of His creation, and He created man in His own image and likeness. It's true that God placed man as the king and gave him dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and the beasts of the field and the creeping things. That's true. But man fell into sin. Man forsook that position. He forsook that position of being the king under God over the creation, including over the birds. And so man is no longer in and of himself better than the birds. He is still stronger than the birds. He's still smarter than the birds. He can still tame the birds. He can domesticate birds. He can kill and eat birds. He can rule over the birds. He can put the birds into zoos. But he's not better than the birds. We are not better than the birds by nature. Not merely because we are men and women. Not merely from being human beings are we better than the animals, including the birds. Indeed, apart from Christ, no man is precious in the eyes of God at all, but is the object of God's wrath. The object of His wrath. He always loves His birds. He always loves His creatures. But man has rebelled against Him. Man has become the object of His wrath and anger, and rightfully so, because of our sins. To whom then does Christ say these words? Because He does say, "Are you not much better than they?" Who is much better than the birds? It's very clear from the text and from the whole context about whom Jesus is speaking when He says that you are much better than they. They are much better than the birds who can call the one true living God their heavenly Father. They are much better than the birds. In God's eyes, much more precious than the birds, although He loves them too. Much more precious than the birds. They who from before the foundation of the world have been predestinated unto the adoption of children. They who in time have been adopted into the household of God, into the covenant of grace, into the kingdom of God. Those who can truly, rightfully call the true living God our Heavenly Father, they are much better than the birds. They who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and follow Him throughout their life, they who are the eternal objects of God's love and mercy and grace. They who love to come into the house of God. They who say to be in this place for one day is better than 1,000 days in the tents of wickedness. Those, they are much better than the birds. Those who are loved by God from eternity to eternity. Literally, Christ says in the text, "Are ye not much different than they?" Or, perhaps better, "Do you not surpass them?" And the idea is, don't you surpass them in worth in the eyes of your Heavenly Father? Don't you surpass them in importance in God's plan and purpose for this world? If God feeds the birds, won't He feed you whom He loves, for whom He gave His Son to die on the cross? Because the reason that we are more precious to God than the birds is not anything in ourselves. It's not that we've made ourselves to differ, as Paul writes to the Corinthians. It's not that we've made ourselves to surpass the birds and the animals, we who fell from our high and lofty state into the depths of sin and depravity. It's not that we've made ourselves precious in God's eyes by our own free choice, by our own good works, by anything in us, but only because of the blood of Christ. Only because of the cross of Christ, our beloved Lord and Savior. Only because of that, the death of the Son of God in whom we believe, the Son of God who became a man, only because of that precious blood shed on the cross are we more precious than the birds. Only because of Christ do we know that God loves us, that God will send everything in this valley of tears to turn out to our advantage, that our Heavenly Father will provide us all things necessary for body and soul. Lord's Day 9. That precious confession that we made tonight too. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. In our series, our Lent series, we've been emphasizing the cost of discipleship. We've been seeing that to be a disciple of Christ involves a cost, suffering and affliction. But we see in this text tonight that to be a disciple of Christ also involves tremendous benefits. Blessings not enjoyed or experienced by anyone else. By anyone who's not a disciple of Christ. As a disciple of Christ, beloved, we've been washed in His blood. We who, by our own choice, sunk into the depths of sin and depravity and became damn-worthy and less value than the birds of the field and the air. God loved us from eternity and sent His Son to die for us on the cross. And we have tremendous benefits. Namely, we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry about anything. That's the point of Jesus in these verses, in this whole section. Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? He repeats that same sentiment later in the passage in verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? And finally, verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. When Jesus says don't take thought, He doesn't mean don't think about it. He doesn't mean you must not prepare. You must not have an insurance policy or a retirement plan. But that word in the Greek is don't be anxious. Don't worry. Don't let it trouble your heart. Don't be fretting about it. But trust and don't worry. You don't have to worry. Everything's going to be fine for you. Everything is going to turn out just fine. The birds don't worry. That's a striking thing about birds, you know. Really, quite a remarkable thing. The birds don't worry. They never worry. We say, how could you know if a bird is worrying or not? Well, you just get a sense for it. I was watching a little sparrow yesterday from my study, looking out the window. That little guy was sitting there on the fence of our backyard, and I was working on this text. I thought, I'm just going to listen to Jesus and behold this bird for a little while, and so I watched him. And he just sat there, and he turned his head this way, turned his head that way. He's looking out over the snow. His eyes were constantly darting around. And I thought to myself, well, this little bird, he must have reason to worry. Isn't he home from the south a little too soon? I mean, yesterday the sun wasn't shining as nice as it was today. It was still kind of cloudy, and the snow is still covering the ground. A lot of it melted today, but yesterday there was still a lot more out there. And so the bird, he was looking out over the snow. And I thought to myself, too, the trees are all still bare. There aren't any fruit. There's no berries. There's no food around here. There's not a worm to be seen. What's he going to do? He's back home too soon. How's he going to eat? Where's he going to get his food or drink? He seems like he has a good reason to worry. But he wasn't worried. He didn't look worried. He didn't look like he had a care in the world. And when he spotted me getting a little bit closer, he took off on his mission to find whatever he was looking for. I'm sure he found it. They don't worry. Maybe that little bird was part of the choir of birds that I've heard singing these past couple of weeks. I hope you've heard that too. The singing of the birds. Maybe that little bird was part of that choir. He was a sparrow, so he flocks together with other sparrows. And maybe that's who I've been hearing singing. Birds love to sing. And you know, someone whose soul is weighed down with the burdens of life, who's filled with worry and anxiety and concern, finds it very difficult to sing. But birds, they're always singing. I think that's too part of the spiritual picture that God has given to us in the birds. They're always singing. They're always cheerful. Because they know everything will be all right. They found that to be true in the past. They know that will be true in the future. And they're sure that will be true today too. My Heavenly Father, they know that their Creator anyway, their Creator has fed them yesterday. He'll feed them today and He'll certainly feed them tomorrow. So there's nothing to be worried about. And so they sing. They sing and sing and sing. That's quite a lesson for us. Can we sing too, beloved? Can you sing? If we're weighed down by the concerns and worries of what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Or what about my body? Will I get a disease? Will I get sick? What about my job? The economy isn't looking good. Maybe it's looking good now, but what happens when it takes a turn? If we're always dwelling upon those things, those unknown things about the future, it's going to be hard to sing. We're going to be weighed down with worry and anxiety. Jesus' point in this passage isn't that we're never going to have any worries. In a certain sense, you can't escape it. It's part of life in this fallen and sinful world. Some of those worries are not any fault of ours. It's the heavy burdens that God sometimes places upon us. We have to trust in God then too. But there is a kind of worry that is purely our fault. It's an evidence of a lack of trust. And as a remedy of that worry, Christ tells us to behold the birds of the air. Let's do that, beloved. Work hard this year. Stay busy. Sow your seed. Reap. Gather into barns. Do what you can do. Think ahead and prepare. Yes, but do not worry. Throughout the year ahead, if and when you find yourself worrying, then find a bird out your window and watch it for a while. Do that. Don't do it casually. Don't do it hastily. Don't just look at the bird, but really look at the bird. And remember everything that was said here in the sermon. Remember the words of Christ. Remember that that bird hasn't prepared at all for the future. He's depending on God today, just today. Let's do that. Let's do that throughout the year ahead. And then let's remember that God provides them for their food each day, and He'll provide us too. Let's remember that we are much better than they, not by nature, not in ourselves, but through Christ Jesus we are. much better than they. And then let us again put our trust in our Heavenly Father and go to Him in prayer. That's where it all culminates, you know. This is a prayer day service. And the point is to remind us of our dependence upon God, to remind us to put our trust in God, to remind us not to worry about these things. But then ultimately it all culminates into this. Go to Him in prayer. Get down on your knees all the time and come before Him with your requests for daily bread, yes, for contentment, to take away that worry, to help you trust more and more, and to give you spiritual wisdom to behold the birds of the air. Amen. Our Father who art in heaven, we thank Thee for giving us such a vivid picture in these winged creatures. We thank Thee that Thou hast given us our Lord Jesus Christ too as our prophet to instruct us, to direct our attention to those birds, to help us to understand what we must see. Grant, Father, that we might in this way too renew our trust in Thee by Thy grace. Take away our worries and anxiety. Grant that we might live each day trusting in Thee for that day. In Jesus' name, amen.